senior officials from the Office of the Chief Justice. I think we have to start because we've got a lot to do for today. Madam Mteto, welcome, sir. I think before we start, can we observe a moment of silence for prayer? Thank you very much, honourable members. Honourable members, we don't want to waste time. The apology that we have is only Honourable Manipule. She is up there in her province. I think other members will join. Oh, okay, Honourable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Chetty also asked me to just note an apology on his behalf, please.
Thank you, sir. Members, the agenda is in front of us. I don't think it will take us long because we're also having a sitting at 10. At 9, I'm sorry. What is that?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I wanted to propose that maybe after we finish this meeting, we take about 5 minutes for the petition to elect the acting chair.
That's in order, sir. Thanks. Members, without wasting time, I think let's give the just allow the briefing by the Office of the Chief Justice on the draft notice and schedule determination, the rate, with effect from 1st April 2016, at which salaries, allowances, and benefits are payable to constitutional court judges and other judges annually for approval by Parliament in terms of Section 2(4) of the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, Act Number 47 of 2001. Over to you, sir. Can you brief the committee? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. I'm Kasi Kutzer. I'm the Chief Financial Officer in the Office of the Chief Justice. And Chair, also please accept the apologies of the Secretary General of the OCJ. She is ill and unable to attend. Honourable Chair, with your guidance, we have submitted a presentation which I see has been circulated to the members. I'm not going to go through the history of the establishment of the department and the legislative requirements of the department. I'm going to go straight into the issue, and that would then deal with the purpose of the presentation is just to present the recommendations by the committee, the independent commission actually for the remuneration of public office bearers, to the select committee members. Very briefly, in the Office of the Chief Justice, the remuneration of the judges is not part of our voted funds. It comes from the direct charges on the budget of the OCJ. The salary benefits and allowances of judges may also not be reduced in terms of Section 176(3) of the Constitution. So it's open for discussion after last night's Minister of Finance indications on the tax, what will happen to the salaries of the judges now with a 0% increase. But in any case, honourable members, the salaries and the scales are also depicted in the presentation, starting with the salary of the Chief Justice all the way down to the salary of a High Court judge or the Labour Court judges. As you will see, the current and the recommended amounts are exactly the same as the committee or the commission recommended a 0% increase in terms of the salaries of judges for the 16-17 financial year. Over and above that, there was also no increase in the gratuities of judges, motor vehicle benefits, medical aid benefits, travelling allowances, as well as the settlement allowances for the Constitutional Court judges and the Supreme Court of Appeal judges. So there are no increases. I think what is not in the presentation, but what I do think the committee need to take note of, is that on a voluntary basis, the judges have decided at the heads of court meeting in April 2016 to implement their own cost containment measures on some of their benefits. For instance, in terms of the determination, judges are entitled to a motor vehicle currently to the value of about 1.3 million, 1.36 million. They've limited that amount now to 990,000, but it's voluntary. If a judge chooses not to participate, it's a legislated benefit. We cannot enforce that. But I must report that most of the judges do comply with the self-inflicted cost containment measures. Other benefits are also affected by this. And I must also report that the department has managed to save a substantial amount of money then on the voted funds as a result of these voluntary cost containment measures. So the judiciary is really adamant to contribute to the state's saving efforts. So I think it's also commendable that the judiciary also, over and above a 0% increase, also agreed to a set of cost containment rules on their own benefits. So in terms of recommendations, Chair, it's recommended then that the committee approves the determination as per the notice of addressed to Parliament by the President. Then the notice of the President says recommends then that there should be a 0% increase in the salaries of the judiciary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Honourable members, this is the brief presentation by the department. Is there any comments or clarity? Thank you. What you members?
Thank you, Chair. I believe that this is the draft, Chair, and it is in our duty as Parliament to consider this or not consider. In that note, Chair, I will therefore move for the adoption, taking note of these recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Tetra.
Before I second. Yes, sir. I got one question, very short one. You said most of the judges in this cost containment, they comply with cost containment. How many are those who refuse to get into? Thank you. And I support the last speaker.
Thank you, Chair. I obviously do not have the exact number here, but I can, if the question needs to be answered, we can answer the question in writing after I determine the details. But it's a very small percentage.
Honourable members, it's considered and seconded. Thank you very much. Can I also read exactly what's supposed to be done by after the briefing? Honourable members, this is the report of the Select Committee on Security and Justice on the draft notice and schedule submitted in terms of Section 2(3) of the Judges' Remuneration and Conditions of Employment Act 2001, which is Act Number 47, determining the rate of which salaries are payable to constitutional court judges and judges annually, dated 22nd of February 2017. Therefore, 23rd. Therefore, the Select Committee met with the Office of the Chief Justice, who briefed the Select Committee on the President of the Republic of South Africa on remuneration increase for constitutional court judges and other judges annually. The President, after consultation with the Independent Commission for Remuneration of Public Office Bearers, determined that the annual increase for constitutional court judges and other charges would be set at 0% with effect from 1st April 2016. Therefore, the Select Committee on Security and Justice, having considered the draft notice and schedule submitted in terms of Section 2.3 of the Judges' Remuneration and Condition of Employment Act 2001, determining the rate at which salaries are payable to constitutional court judges and judges annually with effect from 1st April 2016, referred to it, recommend that the Council approved and said draft notice and scheduled. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Report to be considered. Thanks. Thank you very much. If you wish to, you can excuse. It's up to you. Honourable Members, without delaying you again, we have the item number 2, which I don't think also to take time, but okay. We are supposed to deliberate and possible consideration of the Protected Disclosures Amendment Bill 4OB 2050. Committee must formally decide if it will consider the proposal made by the written or oral submission. B, if committee decides to entertain a proposal, it must be deliberate towards proposing an amendment to bill. After deliberation, the committee must pass the bill subject to proposed amendment or reject the bill. Therefore, the department as the drafters of the bill must attend to answer any question relating to the bill. Honourable Members, I think we've got the bill in front of us. Now today is to either we approve the bill or, and there are amendments. You can look at the bill, the amendments. Check that. I think there are two amendments. One amendment, yes, from then this is page 5. We are in page 5 and 6 and 7. The last one is 7. Thank you, Honourable Mahfizla.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I note the additional amendment proposal, to which I have no objection. But on page 7, after having heard the submissions made last week, myself and my colleague have respectfully come to the conclusion that we were not completely convinced by the arguments put forward by the department in answer to all of the questions raised. I understand the motivation behind Clause 9B. However, as it was stated very clearly, or perhaps I should say first, that provision is made for actions for the contravention of issues that are covered by 9B in other laws. And if not completely, as also submitted, that perhaps the place for it is not in this bill specifically, but that it should be considered then to be included elsewhere. Chairperson, mine is just that I think whether we are of the opposition or of the governing party, corruption in this country is a very serious issue. It is crippling us, and it is something that needs to be taken seriously. Therefore, this bill in general, I think, is a very good thing, but we should refrain in every possible way from including things that might deter possible whistleblowers, especially if this one clause is already being covered elsewhere, and if this one clause renders this bill from going to going from being an excellent bill to perhaps not so excellent. So my appeal would be that this committee considers the removal of Clause 9B for these reasons. I think it is an excellent bill without 9B, and I think that we can actually afford to exclude 9B without opening up the possibility of this appearing, since we have heard that it is already covered elsewhere. I would appeal to my colleagues in the governing party as well. Let's not mess up a good bill with one clause that we can do without. It is a bill that's very necessary, and it's a bill that would, without 9B, go a long way in assisting whistleblowers to come forth, which I think at this stage the country does need. But I honestly think that Clause 9B is the single biggest threat to this bill being an effective and a good bill. So my submission would be that we amend the bill by removing 9B. Thank you.
Alan Tuttle.
Thank you, Chairperson. As much as in our country we had this war against corruption, I think I am much in favor of these bills. I hear the last speaker says this 9B is covered somewhere. You know, there's a tendency in this country where people like to blackmail other people without any reason, and they always get out with murder. They always. Because there is this tendency that if you want to deal with somebody, you just blackmail him, and you get up with murder. For that reason, I don't feel personally that 9B is hindering or is a threat to those whistleblowers if they know what they are talking about. But if you take the rumors and push the rumors and then you made it as if it's something happened, surely there must be a consequences of what we have said. So I support this bill.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I think what must be very clear is that this is a whistleblower's bill. So it's not a bill about people wanting to make false disclosures in a personal capacity or people that are vindictive about other people. So it's a whistleblower's bill. In other words, any person who has the guts to be a whistleblower for a company, because this is really about companies and government employees. So if you've got the guts to be a whistleblower, the implications thereof are very, very serious. If you've worked for a company and you decide to be the whistleblower against a procedure or against a person who's been acting lawfully or against the rules, against the Constitution, or whatever that may be, you have to very seriously consider your actions, and you have to very seriously consider whether you are prepared to be a whistleblower, because it can have very serious ramifications in the workplace. So this is not a bill, I think, that should be taken lightly. And the fact that we need to protect our whistleblowers is a very, very important part of the development of our constitution. And therefore, I laud this bill very much so. However, we do need to realize that for a whistleblower to make the decision to be a whistleblower is exceptionally difficult and very hard for that person to do. A person will not become a whistleblower on purpose. You will not purposefully make false accusations against your employee, against your employer. So therefore, having this insertion of 9B for me is personally a huge problem. And it's going to prevent people from whistleblowing. It's going to prevent people from whistleblowing. It's going to make them think twice. So I have a problem in terms of 9B, and therefore I support my colleague in not supporting 9B. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, I will also recommend the bill as it's crafted, Chair. The question of 9B, Chair, as it's being requested by our honourable members here, that we must exclude it, Chair. Chair, in my teacher, we made some helicopter view on these issues last time when we were briefed, saying, Chair, we know very well that this whistleblowers, in terms of Section 42 of the Act, they are being protected as whistleblowers. Now, what we're doing here is to guard against whistleblowers that will mislead or try to deform a person. Because it has happened, Chairperson, that through media, through we saw in most of the countries. For example, we'll speak of the FISMA's culture. There was media, there was misleading information that was given to our youth and our society. And through that, Chair, there was no one to be held responsible. Chair, we believe that, Chair, a person must be a whistleblower, whatever that he is trying to expose. It should be a true reflection, Chair. And if it is not a true reflection, there must be some penalties that he faces. Therefore, due to that, Chair, I believe that this was 9B. It is there for that, Chair, so that any person cannot just go out there and say, no, Honorable Bimbi has misled, he has misused his powers and used 50 million for a particular project that was not approved by the committee, while that information is not correct. So it is very important, Chair, that we guard against that. Now, really, I will also support the motion that we leave 9B as it is. We leave the amendments as they are and move for the adoption of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I see that the rules on a bill don't make any provision necessarily in the report. I'm going to need some guidance from the Secretary as well. That the minority view has to be included. However, I would like the minutes at least to reflect the opposition's, well, the DA's opposition to the inclusion of 9B at least in the minutes of the proceedings. Thank you.
But I think your objection will be recorded. And really, as members dwell on this, Arun, have you want to say something?
Chairperson, thousand apologies. I had to attend. I have a statement to present now at 9 o'clock, so I had to prepare. You remember we arrived late due to flights. Chair, I think I know with regard to the issue of 9A and 9B, I think, Chairperson, honestly speaking, if you read Section 9A into context, I'm not sure whether I'm being called to order. Yes. I was just emphasizing, Chairperson, that honestly speaking, if you check Section 9A as explicitly and clear as it is, it protects the whistleblower. Because it is saying where it is done faithfully, that particular person will be protected. Where it's exceptional, it's where a person deliberately mislead. Chairperson, there should always be consequence for a person who intentionally or deliberately do something that is going to be harmful either to an individual person or to the institution. Otherwise, we're going to leave a situation where any person would do as he wishes knowingly. That is not going to be a consequence for that. So I'm saying that should be the premise. Otherwise, if we leave it wide open, then I'm telling you it's going to create a problem. Section 9A very clear. It protects a person who goes out and do it faithfully. So in that case, if you read it into context clearly, it is very clear that that particular person, there won't be any criminal measures taken against that particular person in terms of 9A. So I don't see any problem, Chair. Hence, I'm saying I support what Honorable Nkanga suggested.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just as a last afterthought, because I see I'm slightly in the minority over here, our committee consists of 10 members, and it's a question on Section 75. So just as an afterthought, I would like to draw your attention to Rule 155.3, and then I'm going to step outside for a while until you get your members here.
Just some tea.
Yes, we can adjourn for this one till one is in, then we'll take this one. Okay. No, we can have a cup of tea.
Because we're looking for the minutes.
It's probably online, but I don't have it with me.
No, okay, but I mean it's done.
It's
probably somebody else.
When was the meeting?
Oh, just about a week and a half.
No, then it should be online.
Yeah, just about a week and a half.
Yeah. I don't have it though.
Okay.
So, they're taking a break?
They're going to fetch the room.
Okay.
PMG, so you people, what do you actually do? You only do the minutes?
We only do the minutes, yeah, in summary. And we do other work, but people's assembly, we write reports on well, I think what? They interview some members as well on their personal journeys as politicians and, you know, just what they want for the future and and what, where they see the government is going. And what changes would they like to make in policy in parliament as well. And yeah.
Okay, so basically the minutes in terms of we must get the minutes. You know what, I'm not informed. I'm actually only informed through a colleague when the meetings take place.
Okay.
How do I get onto you people send out notices as to what meetings are taking place?
We have a link online that shows you the schedule of Parliament. And I think Parliament also has their own, where is it? I think it's underneath programs or something. And then you can see the daily schedule, what time the meeting starts.
Okay.
Yeah, they something like this.
I'm not getting this system.
Yeah, you get something like this.
I see. You get this. And then this tells you what that is. Okay, so I must actually then get that.
Yeah, what time it is, where it is, and what the agenda is. We get that.
Okay, so that's what's happening now. Because I must get that. I'm just getting it through a colleague. And if a colleague doesn't tell me, then I don't know what's happening.
No, it should be online. I think we also have a copy of the program, although we change it every time.
Yeah.
But we have a copy of the program, and even Parliament on Parliament's website, sure, I think it's under this program.
Okay.
And you can get the daily and the weekly one. I got a document, by the way, by the guy who left. Do you have a copy?
Yes, he gave
me.
He gave me.
Is it the same as this one that you are?
Did you get that?
Yeah, from within your shoe. I'm going to get a copy for you.
That was the first one.
Morning, honourable member. Today's agenda of the meeting is to elect chairperson of the Select Committee on Petitions. The process would be as follows: that nominees would be put to vote by a show of hand. At the end of the votes, the nominee with the majority of votes would be declared a chairperson. Members will only be allowed to vote once. So I will then call for nomination. Honourable Mthethwa.
I nominate Honourable Mthethwa to be an active chairperson in the Petitions Committee.
Seconded the name of Honourable Titus Mhlanga.
Honourable Wana. Seconded. Okay, no objections? There are no objections? Okay, it's given me great privilege to declare Honourable Mhlanga as the interim chairperson of the Select Committee on Petitions.
Thanks for the opportunity. It is bestowed on me by the committee, hoping that with the collective wisdom and the working relationship, healthy working relationship with our officials and so on, we will manage and image victorious or image powerful. I hope so. So in that note, there is this only this item in this for this meeting. It's only sanctioned for this election. I therefore we will start next week. Yeah. No, then we'll adjourn the meeting in that note for further notice. Thank you.
Honourable members, the Safety and Security and Justice meeting will be postponed for the next date. We'll hear the date. Thank you. The meeting is declared closed.
What was it that they were breaking for?